Hello and welcome to another episode of Pyro Unleashed. Tune in weekly as Donnie and David discuss all things pyro, from the business aspect of the industry to technical tips and mesmerizing pyro designs. On Pyro Unleashed, we invite cutting-edge experts to the podcast to discuss their role in making this industry a success. So, sit back and unleash your inner pyro with us.
Episode number 4. How are you doing, Donnie?
Good. Number 4. We are rolling right along, aren't we?
We are, yeah. Well, I think you have a message from our sponsor this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we got a sponsor here from Muxboard. Connect more e-matches in less time with Muxboard. Whether you're using traditional or quick plug e-matches, Muxboard offers an alternative to standard slats on the market. Customize your firing system and work smarter with slats, breakout boards, and conversion kits from muxboard.com. That's muxboard.com to improve your workflow and get the most out of your firing system. As a thank you for supporting Pyro Unleashed and Muxboard, get a free quick split breakout board with your next order before March 31st when you mention Pyro Unleashed. When you place your order, go to muxboard.com/unleashed for more detail.
All right. And a huge shout out to CJ for that. Again, appreciate the support. And want to start off here today. Have Dan Haynes. How are you doing, Dan?
Hey, doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming along.
Thanks for joining us today, Dan. We all know Dan is a fellow K-capper of mine, so we know Dan a little bit. So as we've kind of talked about, you know, a lot, you know, most pyros have their own origin kind of history story. Just tell us a little bit about you and how you got started in the firework business.
Yeah, sure. I started doing fireworks as a summer job, just basically packing and pulling 1-3 fireworks shows for a local display company. I did that as a summer job for like 2 years, and that kind of hooked me a little bit. I went on to work at their office and design shows and things like that. Just oddly enough, I just got super lucky that this local pyrotechnics company in my area happened to have a really well-known in the industry show designer. And so that someone that kind of won a lot of like international competitions and things in the 80s and 90s and did lots of big shows in Vegas and things like that. And so I kind of like had this little early glint into, you know, what a really impressive pyro musical could be early on. Yeah.
That's awesome. And so I believe I've heard you were at Spirit of 76. Can you tell us about a little bit about your time at 76 and their Proline division?
Yeah, sure. So in 2014, I was hired to be the product manager for the 76 Pro line. And I did that for up until a couple years ago, which was really awesome because that was sort of a big opportunity to design and have manufactured the types of fireworks that I wanted, that I wanted to use in shows that didn't really exist on the market. Also just a really great company to work for. A lot of really talented individuals working there, very creative people. It was awesome. Made a lot of trips to China, did tons of networking, went to tons of pyro events, probably went to almost every like PGI, APA, and FA for, I don't know, 7-8 years straight, just tons of pyro conventions. So that was a really good foyer into the industry for me.
Wonderful. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it would be fun. So I hear that now that you're kind of out on your own now with a company called Astro Magic FX. Kind of tell us a little bit about Astro Magic FX and what you're doing with that, and Kind of like what your vision is for the future for this.
Yeah, sure. Year and a half ago or so, when I left Spirit 76, I went independent and I started my own display company, Astromagic FX. The concept with it is really just me wanting to work with a bunch of other cool people that I enjoy working with, have fun working with, and do pyro shows. And I don't have any, you know, specific master game plan to try to grow and be the biggest company or anything like that in 5 to 10 years. There's no real specific plan with it other than I like shooting fireworks shows. I like designing fireworks shows. And I want to have fun doing that with other people that I enjoy having fun shooting fireworks with.
Now, can people reach out to you if they want to purchase a fireworks show? Do you sell fireworks shows, or what are you doing kind of along the lines of that?
Yeah. So we haven't done a ton of marketing with the business. It's mostly through networking, people that I know, relationships that I have already. But if anybody is interested in a fireworks show, we can design only for you. We can design audio tracks. We can design fireworks shows for you. We can also do design and execution. So I myself am licensed in Kansas, Missouri, Utah, but I work with people that are licensed in Texas and other states. And so if you're interested in a fireworks show, we can certainly put one together for you. And you can go to astromagicfx.com and get the contact info off of there. Yeah.
You mentioned one oddity there, Utah. How did you go about getting licensed in Utah, several states away from the Midwest here?
So a couple years ago, I took on a big project out there. I've actually been involved in it on the back end for a long time, for several years for the company I used to work for. But there's a show out there that I have the honor of working on, doing the design and execution for it. It's called Stadium of Fire, and I worked with some really cool people on that. And that's basically, we take over an entire football stadium and they install a stage in one end zone. We install fireworks up in the bleachers behind the stage and then across the street. And it's a pretty massive production. There's, you know, several hundred people involved in that particular production. And they kind of bill it as the largest stadium-based fireworks show on the 4th of July. So I ended up getting licensed out in Utah for that. Super cool, super fun.
Yeah, that's cool. I know, I mean, not to talk about me much, but I know I've done some indoor stuff. You know, pretty much every new year I go and do an indoor pyro musical up in Michigan. And I mean, just some of the unique things that you do in pyro, it really is, it's incredible. You know, we all go out and we all script pyro musicals. I know each one of us have done a show, at least at Skywars and some other events. And, you know, those are fun, but I think the unique ones are the ones that, in my opinion, really stand out more than just about anything else.
Yeah. Working in unique locations is something that I think, at least on the business side, you know, there's a lot of people in the hobbyist industry or backyard industry that it's pretty easy to go out and do a show at a convention or something where you just have this wide open space, but doing a show indoors or doing a show in a stadium, that's a whole nother level of expertise that it takes to pull something like that off. Even just like in our case, like in that show instance, like coordinating with live TV trucks and making sure our time codes being fed from a truck, 200 feet away. But then all of a sudden we had to get time code from another source to do live dancers and just coordinating all these little pieces. You get one shot, you know, it's all live. So when the time hits time to go, you got to be ready to go. And that's something that, you know, you kind of have to have a lot of experience to to really nail that, you know?
Yeah. And it's funny, you know, cause I know in fireworks shows, you know, especially pyro musicals, you know, if you go to a competition or whatever, usually you have a couple minutes that you can, oh no, you know, my system's not ready, or this, that, or the other. I think Donnie, you know, you experienced that last year at Skywars. Thank God we can just like say, okay, hold on, give us 5 minutes. But I mean, in your instance, there is no 5 minutes on that show. That's it. That's pretty unique. That's pretty cool. All right. So, I see, you know, in 21, I know, you and I both did a show at, Skywars together. I seen you did a lot of DMXing in that show, specifically flame effects. So can you tell us a little bit about the flame machines that you use and how people can go about purchasing those?
Yeah. So in that show, we used two different flame machines. We used a Galaxus G Flame, which is a propane, flame machine, really, really good machine made in Germany. And, a buddy of mine is actually the distributor of those in the United States. So if anybody's interested in those, I'd be happy to, pass his, contact me, and I'm happy to pass his information along.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And then we used another flame machine as well called, Chauvin, the XF1800. And that's an isopropyl alcohol flame machine with a single moving head that can rotate a little beyond 180 degrees. So it can shoot, you know, from left to right. It can wave. It can do these machine gun patterns in a half circle. And that's also a very good machine. It's made in China. But I've actually been working with that company recently, and I've set myself up as a dealer in the United States with Chauvin. And so if you're interested in that kind of machine, I can also help you out with that directly. So yeah.
Awesome.
And then along the lines, I mean, there's a lot of different brands of flame machines out there. There's some of the really cheap ones that I know I have some, and some other people have used those as well. What really makes the Chauvin ones, and even the G Flame ones, superior over some of these other cheaper Chinese ones that are being imported?
I think the biggest thing is just having really, really good engineering on them. The G Flame being made by the Germans, they've really designed it to be super industrial, very redundant, dual solenoid valves in series. All the valves are super solid. You don't have to worry about leaks and things like that. So it's really just engineering. And I mean, they are expensive too. That's a serious thing. But when you're putting them on tours or, using them around the world and things like that, you know, I think it's worth it to invest in the good equipment if you can. On the Chauvin side, I've just been really impressed with their quality. That's the main reason I started using them. They're making some machines that nobody else is really making, doing some really creative things with them, and they're putting out a lot of new machines. So they're making lots of variety, which is cool. So yeah.
And do those have like any particular certifications that maybe one that you'd go and get on Alibaba doesn't have? Like, is there any rules and regulations in the US for that?
Yeah, for sure. They're going to have the CE certifications on those. I don't have offhand which ones they have, but I know that the Chauvin ones have the certifications on their website posted. So, and same with the German ones as well. So whereas like, you know, a cheaper machine that you get, that probably it's not going to have any certifications.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you need any training or licensing for using these?
Yeah, for sure. It's going to vary state by state. There's no federal like flame effect training or certification, but definitely on a state by state basis. There's a flame effect operator licenses. You have the NFPA 160, which governs the use of flame effects before a proximate audience. So you want to get licensed with that.
Okay.
There's not a ton of people doing this type of training in the United States right now. Actually, it's a very specialized field. So I do see the industry doing more flame effects as fireworks get more expensive. I think that's a cool way to supplement a show, and people are adding more DMX lights and things like that.
Yeah, I agree.
I think there's some opportunity in the industry to for people that are specialized in that to offer training and sell that kind of equipment. So I'm not putting myself out there as someone on the training side, but I think maybe in the future is could be something we look into.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I know I have a show actually coming up actually at CobraCon. RKM is closing out the whole event, and I'm planning on using some DMX lighting for that too. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited to see how that all turns out. I know we have, I was hoping to get some cryo jets for that show, but I don't know. I don't think I have enough time to make something happen, but if I did, I think it'd be, it would add to the atmosphere of the musical that we're trying to bring out there. But yeah. Well, okay. In due time.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And you can do the, you know, the liquid fueled, jets as well. If you don't want to do the CO2
okay.
light underneath.
Yeah. Okay.
So along the lines of talking about, you know, the DMX, I think a lot of people have seen your shows, Dan, and see a lot of the DMX lighting in your shows. Where do some of those ideas come from some of the creativity that you use? I know you did a show last year, you had them inside of these plastic barrels. Yeah, where do some of those ideas come from for the DMX lighting and how you've kind of utilized that in your shows?
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't... The Skywars show, I just knew Cobra had released this DMX stuff, and I was just like, we have to use this somehow, just to show it off. And I honestly had no idea if it would be any good or not. And my only idea that I had was like, okay, let's just put them on 2x4s and like aim them at the ground, because there's no like, there's really, when you're in an open field, there's nothing really for the light to shine onto other than the ground, or you can shine them at people's eyes, basically. And so we're just winging it there. We're like, okay, let's put some 2x4s up. We'll put 3 lights on each one. 2 of them can kind of aim at the ground and kind of light up the ground like a flame pot. And then one of them can go more at the spectators and kind of shine them in the eyes. So we did that. And then the other thing I did was the barrels. So like a 30-gallon drum, basically like a, just like a 30-gallon translucent barrel. I got a bunch of those, cut the bottoms off, put the lights inside. That idea came from another show that I saw actually at the KCAP competition. There was a guy that put some LED lights, the Mopyro team last year, put some LED lights underneath like a bucket. It was like a 5-gallon white bucket. And I was just like, well, that's cool, but how do we make that bigger? So I found some 30-gallon buckets, basically.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And recycled them from some car washes in various places in Kansas City.
No, I mean, and that's part of it too. I mean, we're all trying to use our creative juices to create a pyro musical. So I think the fact that you're, you know, taking it beyond just the pyro musical and obviously incorporating the flames, incorporating the DMX, finding ways to spread that light out or dampen the light or force that light so people can see it in a different manner than it normally is intended is really, really cool. And so those DMX lights you used at at Skywars 23, are those just the ones you can get off of Cobra's website, or where'd you get those from?
Yeah, I used the ones that Cobra was offering
okay.
off their website. They came straight from Cobra, they work pretty good. They're very cheap, very inexpensive. So for price wise, it's great. The thing that is a bit tricky about them, obviously, is like, you're going to have to run signal cables to all of them, right? We got like miles of DMX cable from that show. And then also power, because those all take, I think, like 110 AC power, 120 AC power. So we got power cables all over the place. So since then, I've sort of upgraded my gear a little bit, and I've started using some Chave Hex 4 wireless battery powered LED lights. That's a lot more convenient. You can just set them down on the ground.
Okay.
You get like the ones that I have the ones I used it. So I did another one at CobraCon with the barrels.
And yeah, last year. Yeah,
hex lights.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Those are great.
Yeah, those look really, really bright and vibrant, and they punch through the barrel really, really well.
Yeah, they're all wireless too. So
okay.
I have like for those, you can plug the DMX signal into one light and set it to transmit, and the light will transmit the signal to all the other lights. So
oh wow, okay.
So literally you just like turn the power switch on, set the barrel on top. There's no wires, it's all wireless and very convenient.
Okay.
But they're also like, you know, $200 a light or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's the downside.
Yeah. Are those the same ones that you used at Skywars over in the Mopyro area where the food tent is and everything?
I don't remember. I don't think so. I think, yeah, I don't remember that was kind of a bit of a mess on that.
Yeah. No, it looked good. It was cool. It was unique. It added a little, I know when I was stressed out, I was like, oh man, that's kind of cool. And then I was like, oh yeah, back to reality. I got to get back out in the field. So,
yeah. No. So for people that don't know what Dave is talking about is at Skywars last year, I set up a little flame and LED exhibit, like kind of like by the campfire, and we were running it during the day. We ran a few little flame sequences while people were getting lunch. And then the plan was that at the end of the shows, the famous Katie fire dancer was going to come over and do a little like fire dance in front of the flame and LED light setup. But then the weather came in and I had like scrambled over and tore all that stuff down during the before we got dumped on.
Yeah, that was something else.
Just a little bit of weather.
Yeah.
That's all. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit of weather. A
couple sprinkles.
Yeah.
So Dan
came in like a monsoon.
Right? So Dan, you've kind of been at the forefront here with some of the DMX and some of the new technologies, and we have seen last year at PGI you did this cool show with drones.
Might have gone viral.
That thing went crazy. I know you had tried to use drones in a show prior to that. We just couldn't get the work out right. So where this idea at PGI even come from to do the show?
I mean, it was sort of a last minute thing. The drone company wanted to do something there. Spirit of 76 wanted to do something. And so I was contracted by 76 to design that show and set that up. And it all just came together really last minute.
That's awesome.
It was a collaborative process between me and the drone people and a couple other people. And it was like, hey, what can we do? It was a really weird process. we had 5 different things on the board. It's like, okay, we want to do like maybe something artificial intelligence related. And then we're like, what about a big robot head? And then they were like, what if the robot head is pieces, like separate segments, and it comes together and forms itself? And then someone was like, well, okay. And so can we like, at some point during the conversation, I mean, we have like 3 or 4 different people on a Zoom call talk, just storyboarding out random ideas. And at some point someone was like, we should make it like, if we had lasers, we could have it do like lasers. And that became the lasers from the eyes. And then someone was like, we don't need real lasers. Actually, we have like 800 drones. We can just, we can just have the drones preset into the lasers, like path where the laser would go, and the drone lights can be the lasers. And we're like, you're genius. Okay, let's do that. So that turned into that. And then basically it morphed into me having like, I had this storyboard of a couple different image ideas. And then basically we had to do the music after that. So then I'm like watching Terminator movies and like looking up like Terminator, like soundtracks and stuff like that. And basically how to build the soundtrack kind of around our
the idea,
storyboarded ideas for what the drones were going to do. Yeah. So it was interesting. Yeah. And like, that was a crazy show too, 'cause we actually were editing the soundtrack. Like I was editing the soundtrack the night before in the hotel room. So
wow,
we were out there. We were out there helping Dan set up, and he's like scripting the show as we're setting up the show. He's like, I gotta go finish scripting this show. You guys finish setting up.
Yeah, that was a crazy one. Yeah. But I don't know. Sometimes those are the most fun too when they're challenging like that. So
yeah,
it was really cool. The night before the show, we got the other thing was the drone guys. There was one gal that did all the simulations, and she had just come back from a big project in Germany for a metal festival, and she just started the drone simulation like. Maybe the week of the show.
Wow.
That's what it seemed like. And so she got us her final render like the night before. Oh. And I was able to, I think there might've been a rough render like one day before or maybe 2 days before. And then the day, and we talked about it. And then the day before we got kind of like the final render in there. She was like, I need you to take 30 seconds out of the show because we're worried about batteries and flight time.
Oh man.
So we made that work. It was great though. It was like,
yeah,
very talented people. I mean, it's when you're working with really talented people like that, it's like sort of a pleasure. So
yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where do you see drone usage going in the future? Like, do you have any more plans with it? Like coming up in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to buy my own fleet.
Okay.
I just need about $250,000.
Yeah, they're kind of cheap.
Just to get started, really.
Yeah, exactly.
So I do want to do more stuff with drones. I'm personally not in a position to invest in a fleet right now, but I'm interested in working with people that either have a fleet or are interested in purchasing a fleet, or just doing fireworks with a fleet that they have already on the fireworks side.
Yeah, shameless plug. If you know somebody with the drones and they want to shoot fireworks with them, Dan's the man.
I've got ideas.
Yeah, we've got some ideas.
So I'll
have to maybe talk after this. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're going to be doing more shows with drones for sure.
That's awesome.
And, it'll be cool. I think it's cool for the industry putting the two together.
It is
really awesome.
Yeah, and that's just it. I mean, you know, I think you were kind of, and maybe I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think you were kind of the industry leader in, you know, putting drones, putting the DMX lighting, putting the fireworks all in one and kind of doing one massive show. So, I mean, if I'm wrong, correct me, but, you know, kudos to you, man. I really appreciate that. And I look up to that. I like incorporating different mediums together of art, and, you know, I would consider all these different forms of art. I appreciate it.
No, absolutely. I don't know if I'm a leader in it. I think there's lots of other people just as talented or doing more crazier things than me, but it's just, something I enjoy doing. And, I think that's the future, is integrating different types of things. I mean, I think even video, like, you don't really see much, because, you know, at a lot of these conventions and things, we don't have like giant jumbotrons, right? But, there's a lot more you can do with telling your story if you've got these other aspects like the drones or the flames or a video element or things like that. Like, it's easier to tell a story, you know?
Yeah. Sure.
Absolutely. So kind of, you know, telling more, I guess, about your story, I guess, that kind of leads us into... recently took a little vacation and went over to China for a little bit. Tell us a little bit about the experience you had over there and some of the things that you were kind of working on while you were there, if you could share those with us.
Yeah, sure. In January, I made a trip over to China. Finally opened up over there with COVID and everything. There wasn't really any travel over there to speak of, but I made a trip over there. I was doing some supply chain consulting unrelated to fireworks, but it happened to be in the fireworks areas. And so visited a few fireworks suppliers, and I actually visited Chauvin, the flame machine factory.
Awesome.
Visited them. I visited an e-match factory. Just a good trip. It's always good to get, it's nice to be in the areas where all these fireworks are being made, because they're also doing a lot of really crazy, impressive things over in China, with drones, and they're doing some crazy firework shows over there. So it's cool to network and talk to people over there that are doing those things, to see, you know, what are they doing over there that we're not doing here, right? Or get ideas and things like that.
So that actually kind of brings me to a question here for you. So I think in the US, putting pyro on drones is not legal. Am I correct?
That's true. Yeah. It's not legal to put pyro on drones. I know just from talking to the drone companies, the companies that are doing these shows, that I know they're working on getting waivers to do that.
Okay. That's kind of was my next question. Yeah. Is that something maybe you've heard of, or you've been looking into yourself? Cause I think, you know, I've watched some other shows in other countries, and yeah, it's pretty astonishing what they're doing with fireworks on drones.
Yeah. Fireworks by Grucci did a big show in Dubai. I watched, with a ton of fireworks on drones, for New Year's Eve. And, I think they don't have any problem with the regulation over there on that, obviously, because, it's been done in other countries, and it may have been done in the US before. I don't know. I don't think it has, though. I think that the companies are still trying to get waivers, but drones are very difficult from the regulatory perspective in general. In the US, you're dealing with the FAA.
Yeah.
It's not actually legal to fly any drone show in the United States the way the regulations are. The regulations are one operator per drone. And so they're doing these drone shows, they have to apply for a waiver from the FAA for every single drone show that they do.
Wow.
So there's on the drone side, there's a huge regulatory aspect to it that anyone that's looking to get into that should be aware. It's not so easy. It's not like, I think, fireworks, where we have really pretty well-established regulations and permit processes with fire marshals and things like that. It's generally places have seen fireworks before, and there's a process to do a fireworks show in most places. But with the drone show, it's a bit more difficult, right? With the airspace and then the FAA.
Yeah.
I mean, one good thing is you do have, it's done on the federal side. So at least you're dealing with more or less one jurisdiction instead of like lots of different jurisdictions. So if you have a good reputation and, good engineering and things like that, you can do it. That's how they're doing it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So back to China. Do you have any new updates from China around the fireworks, or anything good coming out of anything in China with fireworks, or?
Nothing specifically, really. I wasn't really there on too much fireworks business, to be honest with you. Just from talking to some of the fireworks suppliers, I know the big thing that they're talking about right now is the Chinese domestic market.
Yeah.
The fireworks consumer in China has the consumer consumption in China has increased dramatically. Their domestic market did really, really well this past year. And so that's taking up production time away from the export market.
Right.
They're just basically, China's making more fireworks for themselves. And that makes it more difficult for exporting. So that's a challenge. I don't think it's like a major concern. Like, we don't have to all be worried that we're going to get our fireworks. I think the industry is in an amazingly good place especially compared to the trade war with China, and then going into COVID, where that was quite extreme volatility in the industry. I think the industry is in a good place now, and we're coming up to some weekend 4th of July's on the retail side. So
yeah,
I think the industry's in a good spot. I mean,
yeah, I mean, not only that,
I went through some
the weekend. I mean, you're also looking at America's 250th birthday on, 2026. So I think,
sequicentennial.
Yeah, it's going to be a big year, I think, for all of us. Really busy.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
That'll be exciting to do some shows for that.
Yeah, most definitely.
So, we were at 76, and obviously you talked about using China a little bit, doing a little bit like around logistics and transportation and stuff. You want to talk about a little bit about your experience around transportation and whether that regards like fireworks or just logistics in general?
Yeah, it's my transportation experience is basically during my time at Spirit 76, I sort of had two jobs. So one was managing the 76 Pro line, and that's kind of what I think everybody just thought I was doing all the time. I wish that was all I did all the time, because that's the fun part. But also I managed their transportation division, which involved hiring and dispatching truck drivers, managing logistics for picking up containers. We did a lot of transportation of containers and also delivery of orders. So, I got quite good at the sort of supply chain management side of that. And that's sort of what I'm doing now more as a consultant. And that's, developing computer systems that can help companies keep track of and manage things in their supply chain, like containers. Like, for instance, a big company, if you have like 200 or 300 or 1,000 containers, how do you manage that import process? How do you manage all that paperwork? How do you dispatch trucks and drivers to pick up all those containers?
Yeah.
How do you keep your warehouse fed, right? So that's kind of some of what I'm working on, more on the logistics side of the industry with that.
And then kind of tie that into like the fireworks side of things, is there any hiccups or any roadblocks that are affecting transportation during the fireworks realm, whether that's transporting from China or within the United States, anything there that's kind of slowing down processes?
Yeah, there's always issues. In the industry right now, the big one that we're seeing as a problem, and that we've been dealing with this for several years now, is the Articles Pyrotechnics designation, the UN 0431.
Yeah.
That's a designation that is recognized in the United States, but it's not recognized in China. And so transporting those items, those UN 0431 items, on the China side is difficult. That's a problem. And so that's a big challenge, but the industry's sort of been dealing with it for several years now. And I think the product's been able to come in okay, especially recently now. Product's starting to come in. There's a few different things that that American Pyrotechnics Association has done with the DOT on that, as far as getting a waiver from the DOT to do some relabeling, right? So you might see some items like that potentially come in as like a 1-3 item, and then it gets relabeled a 1-4 item. And what's happening there is basically a DOT waiver that says that these companies can do that, right? So so that's good.
Yeah, I know RKM Fireworks has been doing that. We have that license for bringing in the Night Owl fireworks. And let me tell you.
Yeah, special.
Yeah, program. Yeah. I will tell you, restickering boxes is not the most fun thing in the world, but I mean, to be able to get that really good quality product, it's well worth every second. And yeah, it stinks, but it's worth it. It's really good product, and I'm glad we can get it in.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. You're able to get it in. So yeah, but yeah, it's relabeling. It's not.
That's not
So Dan here, as we kind of wrap up our evening here together, any upcoming shows or events that you're going to be at this year that people might be able to stop in, say hi, pick your brain, ask questions, see what Dan's up to?
Let's see. I will be at the Spirit of 76 demo on April 27th. And then I will also be... I'm planning to be at PGI.
Awesome.
We'll be there. And I think I've got a big project in the works for that that I can't talk about right now. but we'll definitely be at PGI. And I'll probably be at NFA as okay. well. I think
you're going to make it to CobraCon then, or
I don't think I'm going to make it out to CobraCon this okay. year, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'd like to, but
duty calls, right?
Getting behind on other projects, yeah. and I got to cut down on some of my pyro like conventions, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
So perfect. All right. Well, I want to say thank you for tuning in. And once again, remember to follow us on Facebook and subscribe on your local or your favorite streaming platform. Be sure to email us your ideas for new episode topics or guests you'd like to hear from at PyroUnleashedPodcast.com. And tune in next week for another episode on Pyro Unleashed Podcast.
Yeah, I believe we have a PGI guest next week.
We have a PGI guest.
Might have some special insight or some special topics for us potentially, right? A lineup.
Yeah, we've got, hopefully we'll be able to talk a little bit about some shows at PGI. I want to say a huge shout out to Craig Hetherington for coming on next week. So we're looking forward to that. And once again, Dan, appreciate the time. Appreciate you coming on and chatting with us. It's been a great time, learned a lot, and appreciate it. Thanks again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, everybody. See you all guys next week. And in the meantime, unleash your inner pyro. Hey!
This has been another episode of Pyro Unleashed. Come back each week for more industry insights, technical tips, and awesome pyro designs. Have fun out there, be safe, and as always, remember to unleash your inner pyro with us.